How does the Farmer's Almanac predict the weather years in advance?
How?
And what kind of winter are we going to have? Let's talk to Peter Geiger, Farmer's Almanac. Good morning.
Hey, good morning back at you.
Yes, yes.
How do you do it?
Well, Yogi Berra once said it's tough to make predictions, especially about the future.
Ah.
So the Farmer's Almanac was established in 1818 by David Young in New Jersey, and he was an astronomer, a calculator, and a mathematician. So he wanted to predict weather for farmers. So he put together a mathematical formula that gets applied to sunspot activity, because how sunspots move or don't move, it impacts the weather. Sunspots, planet positions affect the moon has on the Earth. All of those things, plus the formula, plus the fact that we've had only 7 people in 200 years actually do the weather, has allowed us to do it, and I think do a pretty good job. We do it by regions of the country, so we're in the Northeast. I live in Maine. You're in Connecticut. And,
oh wait, you're the guy who does this?
No. I'm not the guy who does this.
No.
Of course not.
I said, no.
I do it. By the way.
I know. I like how you sound annoyed by that.
That was a very quick, don't blame me. It's been wrong before.
No, I'm a subscriber. I buy the bookies, you too.
I'm just the messenger, so
right.
Don't shoot the messenger. No, seriously, though, in 206 years, there's been 7 people that have done it using the formula that was developed initially and applying it to several factors, and allows us to do it 2 years in advance. And so if you want to know what the weather's going to be, because you're going to get married next year, you're going to plan vacation, where are you going to go for the information? And I think we do a great job. I really do.
Wait, if you're going to get married, you can boil it down to
married,
the date.
If you're going to get married, yes. Well, we break the weather into regions of the country and then 2 and 3 day segments. So the first and the third could be whatever, and then fourth and seventh could be something else. So we do it. And I want to make the point that the almanac is only 8% of the book is actually weather. And so if you overlook the fact that weather is the only thing we are, it's not the case.
No, I love the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life hacks, all kinds of really cool articles. No, it's a deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's worth having. If you're only going to buy one magazine, this is the one. Phil, can you look up the day of your wedding and see?
They're correct.
What do you got to look up? Like, region? Can you look up Connecticut?
We're in region 1, which is the Northeast.
Okay.
Assuming you're getting married in the Northeast.
And then he's got to look up his date. So this was, a couple of months back.
Right. He knows the date, though.
So we just want to see if you were right.
We can't remember. Sometime in June.
Don't.
Exactly.
Hey,
right?
By the way, that was a nice conversation with the teacher.
Wasn't he cool?
I was on the Maine State Board of Education for 13 years. I termed out in April, and there are so many good things going on in education that, it's easy to rail on it, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of good stuff. So
yeah, we're going to try to stay on the positive here. People have enough negative.
It's true.
You don't need to come here for it.
Nope.
What's the accuracy of your weather?
Well, people tell us we're anywhere from 75% to 85% accurate, so we settle on 80%.
That's strong.
There was a case of a hurricane that came up the East Coast a few years ago, and they evacuated Florida, they evacuated Georgia, evacuated everything, and then we said it was going to hit North Carolina and the Maritime provinces. And it did exactly what we said. It didn't rain in Florida or Georgia, and we were off by like 3 days. So was I right or was I wrong? You're doing it 2 years out. Hurricanes kind of bobble around in the waters until they actually hit. So, it's up to the person who uses the almanac to determine, am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah.
But I think basically we have the right idea about how things are going to go. And I think we do a great job.
What kind of weather,
me, of course,
do we know? Yeah. So it must be in the 2023 Farmer's Almanac. Yeah. What kind of January will Connecticut have?
Oh, you're going to love January.
We are. Being sarcastic.
you can hear in the tone.
Yeah.
He meant opposite.
70?
Before you get pay attention now. Before you get to January, you know how in October there's always this one storm that takes all the leaves off the trees? And so if that happens this year, it's going to be October 8th to the 11th. A nor'easter sweeps off the Atlantic coast, bringing heavy rain.
We're writing all this down,
right,
Peter, because you're coming back.
8th to 11th, okay.
By the way, it's in the book. You don't have to write it down. Just right. Open the book. Right. November, we have another big
I can tell you've dealt with people like us before.
Yes, idiots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me. I've had mental health training. Hey, December looks like one of those months where we talk about it being snow turning to rain. And then you get to January. We talk about an Alberta clipper sweeps across New England, brings gusty winds, snow. We talk about snow the 12th to the 15th, heavy snow the 16th to the 19th for New England.
All right, hold on. 16th through the 19th, January, heavy snow.
It's in the book. It's in the book.
Okay.
20
like I memorized it.
Yeah, really.
You don't have to write anything down.
Oh, no. 20, I'm writing down the dates we're having you back.
Right. Do we still get a page or what?
October 11th.
Right. 8th through 11th.
January 20th.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. January 2023, clearing, bitter cold, single digits, sub-zero, and blah, 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 blah. The interesting thing about this winter is we talk about it being cold the first 8 or 10 days of February. And then we start talking about moderating temperatures and then unseasonably warm. So it would be really interesting if we have this harsh winter and then all of a sudden warmth comes all over Connecticut.
Okay.
And you're happy again.
So Peter, we have Peter with the Farmer's Almanac on, and we're talking about the weather.
Yeah.
Farmer's Almanac, so much more than just the weather. But so you're saying January is going to be a lot of snow for Connecticut?
Yes, snow and cold. I want to emphasize the cold.
The
mantra we have this year is shake, shiver, and shovel is the deal. There's been some years when Connecticut's had a worse winter than Maine, so I wish it on you this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thanks so much.
It was funny that, indigenous people here would look at the moon to figure out when the harvest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have, but first of all, we have the book, which is the orange and green covered book, because there's several out there. And so we're the Farmer's Almanac, orange and green covered book. Then there's the website. And on our website, we have the 20 signs of a hard winter. And before there was a weather bureau and before anything, people used to look at the animals and see acorns, squirrels gathering nuts, the thickness of the corn husk. So they had a look at nature to see what nature thinks it was going to be for the winter. So
the caterpillars, right? The caterpillars are in there?
Yeah, the caterpillar. Yeah, that's a big one. And then persimmon seeds. If you cut a persimmon seed in half, it's either going to have a shape of a fork, a knife, or a spoon. That determines whether it's going to be really cold or whether it's going to be mild or whether it's going to be a lot of snow.
I didn't know persimmon is.
But be sure that persimmon is grown in your area. If it comes from California, I'm sorry, you're on your own.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I don't know.
How many people are in your weather department, if you want to call it that?
I have one person that does the weather. I have probably six people that work on the almanac, because in addition to the book and the website, there's all of the social media postings. We have a great thing on Siblings Day, where people send us pictures of siblings, and we just do a lot of different things. And there was an article in one of the newspapers just saying we're out of touch with the world because we didn't talk about COVID and things like that. And when I was preparing for the 200th anniversary of the almanac, I read through all the almanacs from 1818 on. And, in the 1860s, nothing about a civil war. World War II, my father was in the South Pacific fighting the war and sending stuff to his sister who kept the almanac going. But there was never anything mentioned about any wars, about anything. The almanac has always been about helping people. We try to offer people.
Yeah, you're not Nostradamus.
No.
You're not predicting the future.
Right.
Yeah, you're helping farmers.
Yeah, exactly.
First, we're going to check and see how correct the Farmer's Almanac was with Phil's weather on his wedding day.
So I was looking. I couldn't find the prediction they had for spring 2022, but this was May 14th. Pete was able to look it up, and he found it, and it was pretty close. So May 14th in the Northeast, Pete, what did you find?
Well, we said that it would start off with some rain, and then it would clear. And then we talked about a day or so later it being showers. So it should have been clear, and if it wasn't, then I apologize.
Well, we woke up with fog on the shoreline, so that was definitely the clearing storms from the day before. It was clear all day, and then the second the ceremony started, it did rain lightly, and then we got a thunderstorm throughout the cocktail hour. So that was pretty accurate.
Yep.
That's amazing.
A few years ago, I had the worst wedding weather contest in the Almanac, and we had all these submissions of all this. Yeah, everybody wants the perfect weather day, but what happens when it's not so perfect? So I was on the Today Show, and we got all these submissions, and it really was kind of cool to hear about how people survive certain things. I have one person who got married about 20 miles from where I live, and so I left my house. It's pouring rain. I get to the outdoor weddings, and it's completely clear sky. I couldn't take a picture of the sky because there was no clouds, no contrast. And so I'm a good luck charm, but then again, I'm not a big fan of going to weddings. So but anyway, we digress. But yeah, so this winter we think it's going to be significant shivering, some slush. We talked about December, but the Almanac, you know, for anybody who just turned in, it's got the orange and green cover. I can't emphasize that enough. And the book is kind of comforting because you can actually read it when you want to read it. Look for things, the life hacks, things like that. And you can actually go to our website, which is farmersalmanac.com, and you can get become an online member. You can actually get a year's worth of online information and the book for like $13.99 and free shipping. So, you know, if somebody's really interested in the publication and you have the book, but then there's so much more information. We have a weekly newsletter that comes out every Wednesday that has information. For example, today's newsletter talks about how do you preserve your harvest, all the things you've grown in your garden. What do you do now to preserve them for a longer period of
time?
Man,
we got to get back to this stuff.
Yeah.
Every family should have this book and read it.
Seriously.
You had I was on your website last night. You have like 20 winter hacks or whatever.
Yes.
And I had no idea that if you spray Pam on your snow shovel, the snow won't stick.
Oh, see, I know.
You know how many times I'm like,
yeah, right.
But
that becomes 90% of the shoveling experience.
The inside of your blower, also.
Exactly right.
Yep.
So it was a lot of cool stuff like that. And AJ, we were making fun of this yesterday. Okay. This guy who broke a record, like hollowing out a pumpkin and paddling it down the river.
Yes.
Peter has done it.
Peter Pumpkin?
Well, I've done that. That's my favorite activity of all times. I've got trophies to prove it. Yeah. Well, around 1998, we talked about these giant pumpkins that were being grown up in the maritime provinces. And then we had an article about how they have this race. And so I had an 800-pound pumpkin. I drove to somewhere in Nova Scotia, like 14-hour drive. And I raced in this big race, and it was really kind of cool. So in Damariscotta, Maine, over Columbus weekend, they have a race. So you decorate your pumpkin. You get a pumpkin, you carve it out, and you get inside it. And there's a paddling, and then there's a motorized. And I've always been in the paddling division. But then Damariscotta has a great week-long thing in October with pumpkins all over the place.
The motorized one.
Oh my God!
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's pretty funny because they tend to tip over because the motor's too heavy or something.
Right.
But you know, we have a couple things that I think are really kind of cool because with the price of everything, we really want people to be a bit sly in how they live their lives. And so you can actually freeze eggs, you know, chicken eggs. If you can find anything on sale, you take an egg, you crack it, and put it in the pocket of a muffin tin, and you can either scramble it or just put the yolk or whites, and then you freeze it, and then you pop it out and put it in a freezer bag, and it will keep for an entire year. So if you could find something on sale, you can do that. Milk, you know, there's an expiration date, but it actually is good for a few days later. But if you really wanted to, not a full container, but if you had a container, because it expands, you can actually freeze milk and unfreeze it later on when you want it. So let's just say you had some leftover milk, and you can freeze it. You can freeze butter. You can freeze cheese, certain cheeses. And we talk about that. We also have recipes in the Almanac.
I have a feeling if I don't cut in here, we'll be into 11 o'clock into full shift.
It's all interesting stuff, though.
No, it is. So we got to have you back for a number of reasons. Okay. One, the weather, see how it works out. And then two, life hacks.
Yeah.
Peter Geiger. Okay. The seventh editor of the Farmer's Almanac. Thank you, sir.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.